Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf on your flagship station for New York sports. The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN New York.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Rick Wolf's Sports Edge. I'm your host, Rick Wolf. There was a recent study released by TD Ameritrade a few weeks ago in which they focused on the financial aspects of being a sports parent. And I want to share some of their findings with you. Now, look, we've discussed the ongoing debate about whether amateur sports in this country are increasingly becoming more and more a case of the haves versus the have-nots, and how that growing divide financially is affecting our children who do play sports. And we all know, and quite frankly, we seemingly accept the premise that if you want your son or your daughter to play youth sports in this country, whether at the rec, high school, travel, or club level, you are going to have to pay for a good chunk of that. Now, look, when I was growing up, and perhaps you as well, these kinds of travel teams really didn't exist, so there weren't any substantial costs to our parents. You basically played for your local high school team or in your neighborhood, and if you went on, I'd say, a special a field trip to, say, Cooperstown to play a couple of games, well, you had fundraisers like car washes and the like to basically raise the money. But, of course, these days, the financial landscape has changed dramatically. And as we'll discuss, the ultimate question is whether the money we shell out for our kids and their sports would, quite frankly, be better saved for their college tuition. And I'll explain more in detail when I get to the study. Because once you hear the numbers, which are obviously coupled with parental expectations, well, it's going to give you some food for thought. And, of course, I want to take your calls this morning on this very rainy Mother's Day at 1-877-337-6666. Good day to stick inside and talk about youth sports and what's happening in terms of the rising costs. Okay, now, let's work from this premise. At the base of all this is the psychology of wanting to be a supportive sports parent. And I understand that, and you should too. That is, you feel you not only have an obligation, but a true desire to see your kid go out and flourish in sports. So the vast majority of us are eager to pay whatever fees do in fact come up. Except that youth sports are increasingly expensive these days, and if you have more than one child who plays competitive sports, well, it's going to add up in a hurry. The question is, of course, at what point do you say as an adult, as a mom or dad, you know, enough is enough? Now, I mentioned this study from TD Ameritrade, obviously, which is a big financial institution. So they look at this from the prism of dollars and cents. This is what they came up with. The typical sports parent is spending $500 a month for their child to play travel or club sports. Now, $500 a month, of course, that adds up to $6,000 a year. And if you have two kids playing sports, that, of course, is $12,000 a year. That's a lot of money. And remember, most kids start playing travel or club when they are 10 years old. So that means that they play in that elite level for the next 7 years. That's a total of $42,000 over that seven-year span. That's enough to cover a year of college tuition, room, and board. Number two, the average sports parent in this country spends at least 12 active hours a week being involved with their kids' athletic pursuits. Now, in many cases, as the kids are younger, this means having to drive your child to practices and to games, and then, of course, going out on the road as well. I mean, this is quite a commitment. We talk about the time and expense and the effort. all the time, but this is really putting some real numbers to this. Number three, the investment of money, is it in time worth it? Well, again, according to the study, just about half, and this is important, just about half of the sports parents who were surveyed were pretty confident, or at least hopeful, that their youngster would earn a college athletic scholarship. Let me repeat that, because that's what we're driving, that's the main point we're trying to get across here. Just about half of the sports parents who were studied were pretty confident, or definitely hopeful, that their youngster, their young athlete, would ultimately earn a college athletic scholarship. And when they do receive an athletic scholarship, the parents feel that it will pay for at least half, if not all, of their kids' college tuition. Okay, this is where we get into a real disconnect of wishful thinking for our kids in sports and the cold, hard reality of what it really means. So, just as a point of reference, if your youngster gets a college scholarship for, let's say, football or basketball, well, yes, there is a good chance they will get a full athletic scholarship. But if they play baseball or softball or cross or field hockey, soccer, and so on and so forth, well, they'll get a small, relatively partial scholarship, because any sport which is a non-revenue sport in college, which is, you know, all the sports that is listed and many more, like fencing or crew, they rarely offer a full scholarship. In fact, what they do, of course, is they divvy them up into small pieces. So, again, just to recap this, if your kid is a top superstar high school football player, yeah, he might get a full scholarship to play football in college, and a basketball the same way. But for all the other sports that kids play these days, including, you know, baseball and field hockey and all the rest, soccer, no, you rarely, if ever, get a full scholarship, and most of the times it's a very small partial scholarship. And remember, the stats from the NCAA make it very clear that very, very few kids get any kind of scholarship. All right, so if college tuition, room and board, let's say, are $50,000 a year, and your son or daughter is a top athlete, and they're so good that the college coach offers them a $10,000 partial athletic scholarship, that's great. But mom and dad, you're still on the hook for $40,000 a year. And don't forget that you got to put this in terms of the perspective of what you paid for your kid to play on those travel or club teams over several years to get to the point where they get a partial scholarship, which is very small. And on top of this, don't forget at the Division III level, there are no athletic scholarships. I mean, they don't offer any kind of financial aid in terms of playing a sport in those programs. So that's what I want to talk about today, because I just think we've gotten to a point, and I have some thoughts and suggestions about this, but something is just, it's just getting haywire, and we're losing our focus, we're losing our perspective, and I know it's thrilling and exciting. I mentioned the psychology of being a sports parent, and it's fun to at least be able to enable your child to go out and pursue their dreams, but at some point, it's going to just get to a certain turning point where it's just not going to be economically feasible. And for many, many families in this country, it's not feasible already. And that's what I want to talk about. 1-877-337-6666. Let's start our conversation this morning with our friend Ed over in Elizabeth. Ed, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Boy, what a rainy day it is today. It's good. Good day to talk whatever you want, Rick.
I'll tell you, Ed, I guess spring is over, and now we're back to, we missed summer, and it's right back to the fall again. I mean, I walked out this morning, and it was about 45 degrees, you know, windy, cold, rainy, terrible day, and it's the middle of May. I mean, it's Mother's Day, so it's be a nice day, but it's not.
Well, happy Mother's Day to everyone, because I know mothers have been good to their sons or daughters when it comes to athletics.
Absolutely.
But here's the thing that's important that people have to understand. It's other than football and baseball, I mean football and basketball, which possibly you have a possibility getting full.
Yep.
You're not going to get full scholarships in baseball. You're going to get high athletic scholarships if you're certain positions. Like, for example, baseball, pitcher, catcher, shortstop, center fielder. Those are the guys that are going to get the most money. What parents have to focus on, and I was fortunate, I had a nephew who played college baseball, and a niece who's playing now, that most of their package had to deal with the academic side and all that. So that helped defray the cost for my brother and sister-in-law for their students to play college athletics. and get a quality education.
You know, Ed, it's people hear this all the time, and the parents hear all the time from coaches saying, you know, your kid's got a much better shot of having getting an academic scholarship to college as opposed to getting money for their sport. And I think parents think this is just, we're just paying lip service to this. No, that's true. And it's a consequence. They sort of lose their perspective on this. You know, John Minko and I were discussing this before the show this morning. Said, hey, get your kids to open a book. I mean, there's going to be more possibilities for them in terms of scholarships for college if their grades are substantially good enough to earn them, you know, some sort of academic, accolades. Because, the baseball, for example, softball, those things are all divvied up. We know that. But the parents don't seem to understand that.
Well, it's weird, Rick, because I coach travel baseball, and I tell my parents, because as a former college baseball coach, the reality, and I've had to tell kids in our travel baseball program, being up front, your son's not a D1 or D2 player for, to get scholarship money. So why don't we look at the D3 schools that fit your son's profile, and we could work on that and see if there's possibility of getting academic money. But you know what, Rick? The parents still don't want to hear it. They don't understand what a reality check is.
Well, Ed, of course, if parents don't want to hear that, and as you said, maybe rather than face the reality that my kid is a good player, I mean, you're saying the kid might get into and play at a D3 level. The parents sort of say, well, you know what, we'll find another coach, Ed, that believes in our son. And that way, we'll leave.
And again, that's the lip service of travel baseball. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They want to hear that Johnny or whoever is a great player. If they understand the reality check, it'll be much easier for them to understand.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. And it's sort of a sobering impact on the youngster when they get to be a senior in high school and they realize, well, I thought I was going to be a D1 scholarship player and nobody's calling and nobody's coming saying, hey, why don't you come to our program and be our starting third baseman? It doesn't work that way. I mean, there's just so many hundreds of thousands of promising high school players, and the college coaches pick and choose who they want. And parents, I'm sorry that it didn't work out, but you move on, you know? So it's
absolutely.
It's terrible. Ed, thank you as always for the call. I appreciate your thoughts.
Have a good day. Hopefully we won't get rain all week. Let's get some more baseball in tournament time in the state of New Jersey.
I hear you. Thanks, Ed. Take care.
All right, bye.
And just to finish that thought, and again, I can't emphasize this enough, and I know Ed agrees with this with me. You got to take your youngster, and moms and dads, this is for your benefit as well. If your kid is a serious ball player, and I don't care if it's baseball, softball, ice hockey, soccer, whatever it might be, you got to get them out to a real college program that they're considering about maybe applying to in terms of colleges, so the kids can see up close and in person just how good their competition will be in terms of making one of those teams. Because honestly, it's not high school ball. It's not, in many cases, travel ball. It's a huge leap ahead. And until you really see for yourself just how competitive even D3 sports are, you're going to have to deal with the reality that, it may not happen. And I'm sorry, because we know that travel club programs, you're paying for those. We just detailed here in some expense. But the fact is, you got to come to reality with the fact that, how good is my kid? And sort of put out of your mind the whole thought about, my youngster's been told by their travel or club team that they're going to be a D1 prospect. I've heard too many horror stories about that doesn't pay out. It just doesn't pan out at all. And that's the reality for a lot of high school kids. All right, let me take a pause. We're talking about the cost and what it means for parents today to shell out big bucks for the kids to play at these elite programs and whether or not it's actually worthwhile in the long run. 1-877-337-6666 is our number. John Minko has your update. When I return, I'll go right back to your calls.
The Fast Sports Radio, 101.9 FM, Sports Radio, 66, Sports Radio, WFAN.
And back here on the Sports Edge, we're talking this morning about the disconnect that unfortunately too many of our sports parents don't seem to comprehend or understand that the so-called pot of gold of money for their sons or daughters with athletic scholarships at the end of all the years they put into their high school or travel or club teams, it doesn't exist. In other words, yes, we've already established that if you're playing on a revenue sport like football or basketball, yeah, your kid has a shot at perhaps getting a college scholarship. But keep this in mind. According to the most recent NCAA study, less than 2% of all college athletes get any kind of scholarship money at all. Less than 2%. So let's turn that around for more impact. More than 98% of all college athletes do not get any kind of athletic financing. I mean, it's as simple as that. They pay their own way if they want to play sports in college. As simple as that. And yet we still have parents everywhere who are shelling out, according to this TD Ameritrade, and on the average of $6,000 a year to finance their kids in club or travel sports. Now, again, there are that's just an average. Certain sports are particularly expensive. Obviously, ice hockey, because of the ice time rental, very, very expensive. A lot of travel ice hockey. Obviously, sports in individual sports like figure skating, unbelievably expensive. And, you know, if you're parents, I understand this. I've been a sports parent myself. You have to make a determination early on, is this really a good way to spend my money? Because it may not work out. It may just be fool's gold. If somebody tells you when your kid's 10 or 12 years old that your kid's going to be something special, here's a good opportunity for them to really focus on that sport. You know, is that really the way to go? I mean, at what point do you start saying, you know, maybe we should take this more seriously when my kid's perhaps a sophomore in high school? And if he or she is really developing to something special, then we'll talk about whether or not maybe it's worth all the elite travel teams and showcases and so on and so forth. But it is, otherwise, you're better off save the money to pay for your kid's college or having your kid get better grades in school. That's what we're discussing today. And this is something where we really have to feel, we have to educate all the sports parents, because so many of them don't seem to be naive about this stuff. They just think that since my kid is a very, very big fish in a small pond in their neighborhood, that makes a big difference. And it's just, again, fool's gold. You're misleading not only yourself as a parent, but you're also, unfortunately, misleading your child as well. 1-877-337-6666. Let's continue. Let's go to Ronkonkoma, where Eric has been waiting. Eric, good morning. You're on the fan.
How you doing, Rick?
Good. How are you?
Hi. Good. Thank you. Listen, I got a colleague of mine whose son is in two sports, from what he tells me.
Yep.
Ice hockey and baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he likes to give me updates on. I mean, I haven't really, you know, I've met his son once or twice on there, but he gives me a lot of updates on how his son is doing, which, you know, is always fun. But you know, the other thing that that I get a lot though is, all, you know, he's got another tournament up in Connecticut, and you know, it's costing me this, and you know, if they make the playoffs and other things, and you know, so I hear the good and the bad of what's going on with him, you know.
Sure.
And then you know, if he's got a doubleheader, you know, then it's a long day, and this guy's working two jobs, and you know, so there's a lot of stuff going on, you know. So I understand the you know, the cost aspect of it, you know, based on what he's telling me, and it sounds like a lot of money. You know, like you said, with the ice hockey, and of course, you know, baseball is not cheap with the bats and you know, the equipment and all that. So, you know, so I hear it from both ends. You know, my question is this though. You know, obviously, what you were saying with the you know, the percentage of kids actually getting to a point of, you know, making it to the scholarship or, you know, the pro level or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens if they decide not to, you know, even pursue that once they get to college?
Meaning they when you say don't pursue it, I mean they don't.
They figured, well, you know, I don't want to play anymore, kind of thing. I mean, how does that affect the scholarship? Don't they need to play?
Oh no, if Eric, it's very clear. If a college coach offers you a scholarship, whether it's a partial scholarship, or whatever, and your kid arrives on campus and decides, you know what, there's too many things I'd rather else be doing with my time than playing sports anymore, or I'd rather just focus on my academics, and you tell the coach, I don't think I'm going to be playing on the team, then you lose the scholarship. I mean, the coach says,
right,
you know, no, well, that's it's the quid pro quo. I mean, if you want to be a play here and get some of your tuition paid for, you have to be in the team. And, you know, people have to understand
too. That's always a danger then as well, you know, because you mentioned as far as them bringing the child to the college, you know, to see what level they're at, you know, and what if they, you know, once they get there, they realize like, oh boy, you know, maybe I shouldn't be pursuing this on there. You know, there's always that danger then, like you said, of losing the scholarship.
There's no question. Well, they will lose the scholarship. I mean, another thing too, Eric, and thank you for bringing this point up this morning. The fact is, parents, understand this. Yeah, I mean, you know, you're accustomed to watching your son or daughter in high school or even, you know, with their club team. You know, they're playing, you know, practice a couple of times, 2 hours a day maybe, and some games on the weekends. But in college, that gets expanded dramatically because the college coach whose livelihood is coaching to win, they want to see you at practice basically every day all year round. And a lot of kids get to college and aren't aware of that. And to Eric's point, they sort of say, well, this is not how I want to spend my time basically, you know, being in the field house or at the gym or lifting weights all the time. And so they say, I'd rather just focus on something else in life than just playing sports year-round, and they walk away. And when they do walk away, yes, of course, they forfeit the athletic scholarship. And one other note I want to make sure parents are aware of, and, you know, student-athletes, you know, college scholarships, it's not guaranteed for 4 years. They have to be renewed every year. So if the college coach sort of gets on to, well, you know what, this isn't really working out, the kid's always got a complaint or he's not really given full effort, they might come back and say after your freshman or sophomore year, you know what, we're just going to go in a different direction and we're going to basically remove the athletic scholarship. So parents and kids have to be aware this is a full sort of all, you know, full-time job playing sports in college. And again, it particularly emphasizes that at the D1 level. Also at the D2 level, but not as much. And D3, of course, is no athletic scholarships. But you got to be aware of what's going on and the environment you're entering into. Let's go to Newberg and Jerry. Jerry, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Hey, Rick, good morning. How are you? First of all, great job on Sunday mornings as I drive in to referee AAU basketball or do football or something like that. You do a great job, guest and topics.
Jerry, thank you very much.
Couple things real quick, Rick. What I think a lot of parents do, and first of all, there's some great coaches out there, but the programs right now, when I grew up, I think they're so watered down. It's just like everybody's playing basketball. When I grew up, you were traveling an hour, hour and a half to go find a team to go play for. Now, there's an AAU team everywhere. I think parents get such a false hope that their kid is really at a different level than they really are, you know?
And Jerry, you're right.
And on the second part,
yeah.
I'm sorry, Rick.
No, go ahead.
On the second part, I'm just saying, it's just, and the parents, they're not honest with themselves. You know, they live so through their eyes, not through the kids' eyes, of all the things they have going on, Snapchat, social media, stuff you and I didn't have. You know, we had Rotodial, you know? And these kids have so much going on. It's just, and I don't think the parents sit back and they think that their kid is better than they are. They look through their eyes, and honestly, they're not honest with themselves. And I think the coaching also, Rick, is not what it was at one time, you know, and I don't think they get an honest answer.
Jerry, I do think that's a huge part of the problem. And again, you say you work, you know, refereeing, officiating stuff. You see this firsthand. You know, I go back to the expression I used before of being a big fish in a small pond. You know, there's so many, there's been such a proliferation of travel programs in the last 10 years. At like AAU and all others, I mean, the parents sort of say, well, my kid's not only a star at their high school level, but obviously they're starring at and their travel program as well. So he or she must be the real deal, not knowing that the level of competition is not particularly sufficient.
And you know what the sad thing is too, Rick? A lot of the programs, and I'll just say this, and I thank you for taking my call,
yeah,
is that a lot of these programs are really in it not for the kid. And it's sad to say that. They're in it for, unfortunately, the money, and they don't give the kid the proper either message, or they just say, listen, it's $500 or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
They get the money, and they're thrilled at it. It's not about the kid. And unfortunately, it should always be about the kids, Rick.
Oh,
thank you for your – thank you, Rick.
Thank you, Jerry. And you know, I agree 100% with Jerry. And how many times have I tried to trumpet this caveat emptor to sports parents? You know, we do need to have some sort of awareness with travel and club teams to make moms and dads aware of the fact that they are there as a for-profit operation. They are there to basically tell you good things, nice, positive things about your son or your daughter, and they will take your money. And so you have to be aware of this because they're basically trying to keep you as a very happy client. And they keep telling you things. And again, I can't begin to tell you how many phone calls or emails I get from parents who all of a sudden their kid gets to be a junior in high school, and all of a sudden they're going through their travel team for the last several years, and they don't understand how come the kid's not getting scholarship offers and not getting calls or texts from college coaches. It's just not happening because, after all, my kid's been a star on this travel team. How come I'm not getting my kid's not getting more? Because it's sort of like the emperor's new clothes. They're telling you things that may not be true. And again, you have no perspective on this because you just don't have a sense of what's out there in terms of the overall national competition. Let's move on. Let's go to Ellis in Connecticut this morning. Ellis, hi there. You're on the Fan.
How are you?
Good.
Thank you for taking my call. I love the subject, actually. And I'm a grandfather, and I talk to my children who have teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And you're totally right. I mean, one of my kids, she has two teenagers. She spent, I think your estimate is conservative, about $500, but that's not the point. The thing, so one time I asked her, I said, look, let's face it, my grandkids are not superior athletes. They middle of the road, like playing for fun and mm-hmm. so forth. And they're not going to be professional players. Why are you spending all this money for? So guess what? The answer was, she said, in our days, kids have, when they have a free time, a lot of times they're looking for trouble, basically speaking. So to keep them away from trouble, and it's one of the ways is have them playing sports. And after that, I kind of, I would say I approve the investment because it's for a good cause, not to be a professional player or get a scholarship. Like you said, statistics is brutal.
Yep.
I mean, even the talented kids who get the scholarship, I mean, 90% get hurt and never make it.
Correct.
And but the cause that I was made to look at, I think is justifiable.
Well, Ellis, I would say this, and I think my initial reaction about basically saying, okay, we know our kids may not be superior athletes, but we don't mind. And Ellis, thank you for the call this morning. It's not that we are so eager to have them go on to progress to play sports in college, but this at least keeps them busy. They seem to enjoy the exercise and the activity. It keeps them from being from getting in trouble. I would say, well, if that's the real motivation or one of the main motivations why you're doing this for your kids, why don't you do something else, like find out a different activity or sport, or not even sport, but anything outside of sports, which they also enjoy doing, because, you know, that might lead to another career choice for them. And again, it would basically keep them away from getting in so-called trouble, on their own with extra spare hours. I mean, so I think you might want to give that some more thought if you're a parent, if that's your motivation. Don't forget, at 9 o'clock this morning, following the Sports Edge, Ed Randall will be here, and he'll be talking baseball for a couple hours. Also, this coming Wednesday evening at 7:15, I will be talking to the Armonk Baseball League up in my hometown in Armonk, New York, at the Byram Hills High School. If you're in the area, come by and say hello again this coming Wednesday at 7:15. In fact, if you'd like me to come to your town or school or organization and talk about the latest issues and concerns in youth and amateur sports, just go to askcoachwolf.com for more information. As you know, I always like to tailor my presentations to the particular issues that are specific to you and your group. And right now is a good time to start booking me for this coming fall's calendar. Again, go to askcoachwolf.com. Right now we're talking about, you know, the growing concerns, the financial burdens upon so many sports parents for their kids in sports. And, you know, I have to tell you, it's It's the undiscussed heartbreak of youth sports in this country. Parents are so gung-ho, and I understand why, to see their kids become stars in school and on to maybe to play in college. The parents will now pretty much spend any price they have to help basically make those dreams come true. But the reality is that so few kids ever go on to make a college team. We've already established that the most recent stats say that less than 2% of all college athletes even get a dime for a college scholarship. That's pretty sobering stuff. And yet, along the way, we keep hearing about, you know, your kids are going on for travel teams, which are everywhere now, club teams, showcases, special camps. I mean, it's an endless array of opportunities, basically, and you're being told that your kid is a rising star. Well, that may be true, but for most of them, the reality is their athletic career is going to come to an end after their high school days. And we're talking about this. Maybe there's a better way to run youth sports in this country. I mean, I'm just brainstorming and come up with some ideas. You know, how about if the President's Council on Physical Fitness began to sort of start to line up and solicit major corporations from the U.S., like Gatorade or Nike or McDonald's or Little League Baseball, and ask them for major corporate donations to underwrite, you know, local chapters of youth travel and club and elite teams. I mean, why don't we go that route? I mean, these are all, again, major multi-million-dollar entities that we as consumers support. Doesn't it make sense for us to appeal to them to help them give back to our kids and our programs? Or how about this? How about if we ask people to check a box on their tax returns every year where they can donate $5, which would go to supporting youth sports in this country? Again, we're getting to a point where is it just too expensive to finance our kids in sports, but we've also established that at the other end of the socioeconomic strata, a lot of families can't afford this, so the kids just sort of drop out of sports, even though they're talented and have the same dreams as other kids do. Something has to change, and change dramatically. All right, let's get back to our calls. Let's go to our friend Jack Smithlin over in Fairlawn. Jack, good morning. You're on the Fan.
How are you, Rick?
Good, Jack.
Thank you for having me on.
Yes.
As usual. First of all, for, you know, your little pitch there about you going out and speaking, just so the listeners can hear, I had Rick come and speak to our Hall of Fame committee. We sponsored Rick coming in to speak to our youth parents. And we had a great crowd, and it was gotten nothing but rave reviews. It was unbelievable information. So
well, thank
really
you.
Think about stuff like that.
Thanks, Jack.
Getting back to this. You know, we've been talking to the 2% about scholarships and no scholarships and everything, and I think that's unbelievable information. But let's talk to the 98% that are never going to get a penny to play a sport in a school.
Right.
You know, when I was younger, and even when my two sons were younger, you know, club teams weren't really around yet. I mean, it was, you know, you played rec ball or little league, and then at the end of the season, they picked an all-star team that traveled to play other teams. And then, you know, and that's where the clubs really started taking off, you know. And most of the clubs that were formed were always formed by fathers, you know, and then organizations got in, and then it became a business. And, you know, the problem is that when it first started, those club or traveling teams were the elite teams. There was a few, you know, around Bergen County, maybe two or three. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's probably 50, 60, 70 just in Bergen County alone that are travel teams. And the expenses, you know, I just read an article yesterday about, I actually looked it up online, and the average cost for a travel team is between $500. And it could go all the way up to $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 for the year. And most of the time, that's not an entire year. That's probably a season or a winter workout with a spring season. And then they have their summer program, and then they have their fall program. And then there's those hidden expenses, you know, the jackets and the sweatshirts and
right.
the hats that you got to buy when they don't provide them. And then you go on those road trips, and then you have the hotel, and you have the plane fares a lot of the times, and then all the food that you have to eat. You're looking at, I remember on one of your shows recently, a while, well, within the last year, there was a person who got on when we were talking about clubs and things like this, and he said that he had to remortgage his house
yes.
to get his daughter private dance and cheerleading lessons.
Right.
Now, you know, it's just amazing to me that one of the ways that I did it, and this might be that suggestion you're looking for, and I'm not saying it's the best of all, but let your kids play ball. Let them play as many sports as they possibly can, because you know what? You might be pushing towards another sport, and all of a sudden something else pops up where they become a star. But let them play rec ball, okay? And then when it comes time, and let them, you can get them lessons and let them go to some camps and things like that. Keep the cost down to a minimum. But then you recruit your school, because I'm going to tell you, you could have the greatest thing since sliced bread when it comes to your son or daughter playing sports, baseball or softball, and your own state might not even know who they are.
Yep.
So when it comes to recruiting, you go out and recruit the school, but let them play as many sports. You know what? Keep your, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, I have a kid that I work with that has a bat that's $500. I don't think my wedding was $500. I mean, come on. I mean, the equipment today, gloves are $300 and $400. I mean, I remember I think I bought my first glove in ShopRite. So, I mean, I don't get it, you know. But, you know, but there are ways to do it. Get them lessons. Let them go to camps. But these travel teams, I'm telling you, you better make sure that you know what you're doing,
well,
what kind of team you're picking.
Jack, I couldn't agree more because, and I keep trying to hammer this point, and you're right, these travel teams have proliferated. They've sprouted up overnight like mushrooms. If your son or daughter is eager to play in that particular travel team, the first thing I would do as a parent would take the coach over to the side and say, look, A, how much does this cost? And B, can you give me a real solid breakdown of how many of your kids you've coached have gone on to play, you know, and been stars at the high school varsity level, have gone on to get college scholarships? And if the coaches or the administrator is reluctant or has only vague recollections, that's a warning sign, because it means that they're not really producing the so-called kind of superstar that they think that your kid's going to be. You got to be careful
with
this.
Also,
yeah, go ahead.
Also, one other thing, you're absolutely right there. You got to really check. And also, when you are, if you are moving in that direction of club ball,
yep.
make sure you know who the coaches are.
Make sure
you know what their backgrounds are. Most of these travel teams that are out there now, because there's so many of them, are fathers that want their kids to play at that higher level, okay?
Yep.
They really don't have a background in education as far as educating themselves in hitting and fielding and throwing and what's being taught today, because what's being taught today is not what was being taught when we were playing, Rick. So, you know, it's a science. Hitting is a science, and all these things. You better know inside and out what that background is of that particular program, who those coaches are, what their philosophies are, all the things that you talk about all the time. Thanks, Rick.
Jack, as always, my thanks, and I agree 100%. And you know, we haven't been focused here, obviously, on for baseball right now or softball, but it's just across the board, all sports, because there are travel or club sports and all these activities. And parents, I hate to be sort of downmarket about this, but it's sort of when you're shopping around for your kid who you think has great athletic promise, it's like shopping like for a new car. You got to sort of make the rounds and talk and sort of go for a test drive and see exactly, you know, what that coach's program is all about, who the coach's credentials are, what do other people say about that program. You know, you got to do your homework because, as Jack points out, the original or the initial cost is obviously for the tryout, and if you make the team, that's fine. But then the other ancillary costs, the travel that's involved, the expense, staying in hotels, food, all that stuff, it's a major, major commitment, as this study from TD Ameritrade has pointed out. So you got to really do your homework, because you're going to be committed to that program for better or for worse. And it's difficult to sort of say halfway through, well, I'm not sure this is the right program for my kid. So anyway, it's something that I can only keep hammering away at, because I think it's so essential that parents today do their due diligence, do your homework, don't be seduced by some coach who says, I think your kid can be a real star, and all I need is for him or her to come into my program, and we'll make them into, raise them to a higher level. All right, let me take a pause. I'll be back.
You work hard and you play hard. And let's face it, sometimes it hurts. That's why people around the world depend on Tiger Balm. Tiger Balm goes right to your aches and pains. Made from a blend of herbal ingredients, Tiger Balm is the nation's number one selling pain-relieving ointment. Rub it in, and it works. Available in ultra strength and a convenient hydrogel patch. So whatever your age or lifestyle, roar back with Tiger Balm. It works where it hurts. Available at stores everywhere.
Warm weather is finally approaching here in New York. Make the most of it by using the Spot Hero parking app to find and reserve the closest parking spot to your destination. Whether you're headed to work, the airport, or just a night out in the city, Spot Hero will save you time, money, and frustration. There are even options for monthly parking. Simply download the app, search for your destination, and reserve your spot in advance. Plus, right now you can get $10 off your first park with promo code CITY on the app. That's promo code CITY. Spot Hero, park smarter.
Celebrate Asian Pacific American Heritage Month with Macy's this May. You're invited to Macy's stores across the country as we shine a light on the art of comedy all month long. Don't miss entertaining and insightful events featuring comedians, actors, and writers of Asian and Pacific Islander descent. Get a chance to meet our guests and hear how they're sharing their unique voices and heritage with audiences around the globe. Find an Asian Pacific American Heritage Month event at a Macy's store near you at macys.com/celebrate.
Here's Tony Romo for Skechers Slip-On Footwear.
I like to make my life easy. I got a car that can drive itself, a robot that vacuums my whole house.
Carpet has been cleaned.
And Skechers Slip-Ons. They don't have laces, so I can just slip them on and off with ease. And they take comfort to another level. They're flexible, breathable, and have Skechers air-cooled memory foam. Plus, they come in a wide variety of current styles. Skechers Slip-Ons. You'll never want to wear anything else.
Try Skechers Slip-Ons with air-cooled memory foam today. Skechers. Comfort included.
Come out to Yankee Stadium and get ready for the Battle of Westeros on Friday, May 17th for the first ever Game of Thrones night at Yankee Stadium. The first 18,000 guests in attendance will receive a Yankees Game of Thrones t-shirt. In addition, the Iron Throne will be on hand for photo opportunities. For tickets, log on to Yankees.com or visit the Yankee Stadium ticket window. Get your tickets now for Game of Thrones night at Yankee Stadium on Friday, May 17th.
Introducing Spectrum Mobile. Save up to 40% with unlimited talk, text, and data. The best network, the best devices, the best value. Visit SpectrumMobile.com.
Rick Wolf, Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The Fan.
And Sports Radio 66, WFAN.
Oh, before I forget, I want to be held accountable. Now, last week, I accidentally said it was Mother's Day last Sunday, and, of course, today is Mother's Day. And, of course, now people could make a case that every day should be Mother's Day, but the truth is today is officially Mom's Day, and I apologize for any confusion from last Sunday I may have caused. Okay, back to this topic. This is such a crucial part of it goes right to the heart of sports parenting today. It's so important that a mom or dad, and again, I want to reemphasize this, you got to do your homework as your kids come up the ranks of sports. Yes, of course, you want to do what you can to have your kid blossom in their sport, whatever the sport may be. But at some point, as they go through middle school and into high school, and now we're getting deep into the world of travel teams and club teams and showcases and camps, whatever, it gets very, very expensive, very, very time-consuming. It's going to be essential for you to understand exactly what is involved and, more importantly, just how your son or daughter really does stack up in terms of all the other competition out there. I mean, I can tell you, and I've said this before in the show, when I was coaching college baseball in Westchester County, there were 70 high schools in Westchester County alone, countless more in Nassau and Suffolk, and the city, of course, even more in Fairfield County and Connecticut, Bergen County, and I could pick and choose where I recruited my kids from. And everybody was all-league or all-county or all-state. So there's a lot of competition out there, and the fact is, you know, you as a mom or dad have to sort of try to figure this out. And again, if you knowing that the stats are that less than 2% get any money at all for college scholarships, you got to make sure that your son or daughter is really hitting the books, because that's where they're going to make their money in terms of college, getting scholarships for academics. That's real. The real gold mine is when it comes to paying for school. It's as simple as that. I mean, I can't emphasize this enough because it's fool's gold if you think they're going to get a full scholarship for their sport, whatever that sport may be, with the exception perhaps of basketball or football. Okay, that's going to do it for me in this edition of the Sports Edge. My thanks this morning to Rob Rosenhaus. Please stick around for Ed Randall. He's up next. I'll see you next Sunday right here on the Sports Edge.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.